Great, we're all here. Excellent. What I want us to see in this session is that the key to a happy and united marriage is correct communication. Now, I'm not talking about the sort of communication in... Do you remember the Mars and Venus books? Dr. John Gray. Anyone read those? No, young people. I can't remember those at all. But basically, some guy thought that women come from Venus, blokes come from Mars. So we have totally different ways of communicating and different expectations and different needs. And what the guys from Mars have got to do is try and find out what the women from Venus like and then change their lives appropriately. It's great. On the front it says, getting what you want out of marriage. I think something like that. So it betrays quite a lot about what the book's really about. But I think the most important thing about communication, the most important communication that holds a marriage together, is God's communication with us and our communication with Him. So the vertical that William was just talking about in the first session. God's communication with us and then our communication with Him. And I think that's as clear as day from Ephesians 4, which we're not going to read now. We're short of time. But in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul tells us that if we trust in Jesus, then by definition, we have a unity that is as close and as perfect as the unity that God the Father enjoys with His Son and His Spirit. So just look down at verse 4, if you will, with me. Or it can come from verse 3, really. We should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your Lord. To your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now that means that even in this room, if we trust in Jesus, then we all share the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me, also lives in Anthony, it also lives in Laura over here. Francis, that same Holy Spirit unites us because He is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in all of us if we believe in the Lord Jesus. Now, if that's true for the body of Christ, if we have that unity as the body of Christ, well, of course it's true for us as Christian married couples. We are, by virtue of being Christians, perfectly united by His Spirit as married couples. Now, what Paul goes on to tell us in chapter 4 is that perfect unity we have is maintained and matured in two ways. Okay, we've got that perfect unity, that Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, but it's maintained and matured in two ways. Number one, first of all, unity is maintained and matured as the Word of God is held out to us by our Christian teachers. So have a look down to verse 11 with me. And this is God giving grace, gifts of grace to His church. He gives the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You see that? So these wordy gifts, apostles, prophets, pastor teachers, evangelists, they're all given to the church and therefore to our marriages, so that ultimately, verse 13, we all attain to the unity of the faith. That's going to be true for Christian marriages as well, isn't it? So unity is maintained as God communicates His word to us. So let's apply this. This means that as married couples, it's extremely important that we're sitting under regular, faithful Bible teaching week by week. We need to have our marriages fed vertically with the word of God as it's taught to us from the pulpit. It's here where we learn about the forgiveness that we were told about in the first session. If we haven't got our heads regularly in the Word of God, well, how do we know what forgiveness should look like so that we're able to forgive others horizontally or our spouses? Here, in the Word of God, is where we find out what real forgiveness is. Now, it's always been Satan's way to take us away from the Word of God and to say, it's not important. There are more important things to do. So his first words are, surely God did not save. That's always been his game, hasn't it, to take us away from the Word of God. And just the same today, he'll use every trick in the book to keep us away from hearing God's Word. So Sunday morning comes, and a Bible study night comes, and he'll go, you're too tired. You have a lie in. You've got a busy week next week. There's no point. It's actually a bad witness if you turn up to work tired on Monday because you've been at church all day on Sunday. It's a really bad witness. So just take a break on a Sunday. Or Satan says, it's raining, or it's snowing, or it's too sunny, it's too bright out there. you've been for the last 2 weeks, have a week off. You know, you deserve it. I play the piano at St. Helens, that's my job, and Satan says to me, okay, it's time to go to work. You need to go to work this morning on a Sunday. As if I'm just there to play the piano and not to listen carefully to the Word of God that is preached for the sake of the church and for the sake of my marriage. I've been reading Proverbs recently, and I love the straightforwardness of the teaching and the speaking in Proverbs. Here's Proverbs 4:5. Don't turn to it. Proverbs 4, verse 5. It says this, get wisdom, get insight. Isn't that great? It says a little bit more, but that's what it says at the start. Those are the first four words. Get wisdom, get insight. Just get it. Great, isn't it? So let's make sure that we're regularly sitting under faithful Bible teaching. And we need to be there with that Proverbs 4 attitude. Listen hard. Get wisdom. Get understanding. The body of Christ need that from us, and our husbands and wives need that from us too. So why not be radical? Why not be radical? Have an early night on a Saturday or something. Have you ever thought about that? So that we can be fresh and listen to the Word of God on Sunday. Honestly, it's never even crossed my mind to have an early night on a Saturday night so I can hear the Word of God better on a Sunday. It's never crossed my mind. But that's because I've forgotten the power of what happens when I have ears to hear the Word of God. Satan is very clever. So, get wisdom, get understanding by committing to sit regularly under the proclamation of the Word of God. That's point one. But there's another way that our unity is maintained, point two, and that's in verse 15 here of Ephesians 4, if we're still there. Verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So unity there is maintained, well, not only as we listen to the Word of God together, the taught Word of God by our teachers, Bible teachers, but also as we truth the Word of God to each other, as we horizontally communicate the Word of God to each other. Now, quite often, I think we can be good at turning up to church and Bible studies, listening well, we're good at taking notes, we look the part, and we do our prep. But actually, as soon as we leave the building, or as soon as we go home, then, well, it's back to, like, who's got to do the washing up, and we forget all about what we've learned. And I think Philly and I, we're okay at talking about some of the people we work with and what they're learning or not, or what they're not learning. But Philly said to me the other day that she thought we needed to be better about talking about what we're learning personally, together, encouraging each other in what we're learning from our own quiet times, from Sunday sermons, or from Bible study groups. She's absolutely right. We're pretty bad at doing that. We think, oh, we're about ministry, so we've got to help each other, help others to learn about the Lord Jesus, without remembering ourselves that we need to encourage each other to get wisdom, to get understanding. So we do need to change our mindsets on this. It's not a drudgery to read our Bibles and to talk about what we're learning with each other. We're investing in eternity, in that unity that we already have of the Spirit, and by building our relationship with the Lord Jesus and with our spouses and with the church. God is powerfully at work when we open our Bibles. Very powerfully at work. That's the way he created the world. That's how he maintains and sustains Christian disciples right until the day we die. So here's a challenge. Let's sort out our Bible reading as married couples. Let's sort it out. Doesn't matter how we do it or when, just in the spirit of Proverbs 4, just do it, get it. We don't need to read the Bible together, though for some it does work well. We're all very different as couples. And Philly and I don't read the Bible together. Sometimes when we're on holidays, we will do that, but very rarely. We often hear that we need to be realistic at these sessions and that we should just do what we can manage. Even 10 minutes, I hear this quite often. If you can just get 10 minutes a day just to set aside to read the Bible, that's great, if that's all we can manage. The trouble is with me, if you're like me, then as soon as I hear all you have to do is 10 minutes, then to me 10 minutes sounds a bit like 2 minutes, really. I mean, it starts with a T and it's only 8 minutes short. And it feels about the same. So I'll just read a quick verse, and I'll have that. Yeah, just need to do 10 minutes. Just read a quick verse, say a quick prayer, and then get on to the important stuff like Daily Express, that sort of thing. We tend to love human guidelines, don't we? Because then we can either boast about when we actually keep them, when we hit them, or we can enjoy wallowing in guilt when we miss them. But the Bible's guidelines goes for our attitude rather than our diaries. Here's Proverbs 2. Call out for insight. Raise your voice for understanding. Seek it like silver. Search for it as hidden treasure. Hearing God speak to us is so valuable. It's our life. It's like the tree planted by living waters. In Psalm 1. Hearing God speak to us is far more valuable even than hearing your husband say, I love you. It's what helps us to grow and maintain our unity. Okay, good communication is a two-way activity, obviously, isn't it? Not only is it important to listen to and obey the word of God, but we're in a two-way relationship with our Creator. So yes, God speaks to us, but also we have the privilege of being able to speak to him. So number 3, our marriages are maintained as we rely on God in prayer. And yes, our prayer is a huge privilege. I don't need to tell us that. We can talk to the God who created the world. He's our Father in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. But also we can show him that it's our will to honor him with all of our lives, as children of a perfect father. And we can ask him for our daily needs. How good is that? Our creator, we can ask him for our daily needs and for daily forgiveness, which is what every marriage needs. We can ask him for the forgiveness that we were hearing about in the first session. How good, therefore, is the Lord's Prayer to remind us of the privilege that prayer is and the priority that prayer should be. Again, it's not imperative that we pray together as married couples. But one of the things you notice about the prayers of the Bible is the corporate nature of prayer. Bible prayers, they often acknowledge the body of believers, the corporate body of believers, as they call out to God. So it's no mistake that as Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he starts with our Father, not my Father. This is how you pray together. Certainly, Philly and I have found that our daily prayer times together have been one of the glues that has held our marriages together over the 11 years. And it's as we pray together that we remind ourselves that Jesus is the one who we can trust more than anything or anyone else in the world as we go through the highs and the lows. And prayer also reminds us that we worship and rely on him rather than on each other. It's a recognition of his ownership of our marriage and his fatherhood over our whole family. And our boys, we've got two boys, our boys need to know that we're trusting in a heavenly father through my failures and our successes as a family, that we're always pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ and relying on him first and foremost. At the same time, though we may be disciplined at praying together, It's important to maintain our own individual prayer life, which shows that we hold our personal relationship with our Creator as of primary importance. I realised a few years ago that I was okay at praying with Philly. Yeah, we got that in the diary, we'd sorted that out. But actually, I was pretty terrible at praying for her during the day. So again, there'll be lots of ways that we can encourage each other to a healthy prayer life. So for instance, this is just me. I've stuck a memo on my phone that goes off at the same time every day that just says Philly on it. It reminds me to pray for Philly. We can do lots of things like that. That's just me. That's just, don't worry about that. The only thing I'd say here is that some sort of planning is a great thing to do. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen. Yes, sometimes when we plan, things can be a bit formulaic. Phone goes off, pray for Philly. Phone goes off, pray for Philly. But it can feel like going through the motions, but don't use the excuse that planning can make things a bit formulaic to do nothing. Better do something and sort it out. I'm going to just pass it over to Philly, who's going to tell us about what we do a little bit more.
And again, with all of this kind of thing, as soon as you start talking about what we do, we're quick to say this isn't the only way to do it. This is just some of the things that we have found helpful over the years. Please feel free to disregard everything that I say, and you'll have some opportunity in a second to talk it through together. But I think, as Richard said, that we have found that unless we plan to do something, nothing happens. And we are constantly having to rethink and recheck our plans in our daily life. So, for example, this is an inane and small example, but something that we've dealt with. Come September, our little boy Ollie went to school. We have an entirely different routine in the morning now, which involves getting out of the house to do the school run. How do we go about fitting in our prayer time, our Bible time with the kids, in order to get out of the house at 8 o'clock? So all we did was sit down and work out, okay, we've got to leave at 8. What comes before that? Breakfast, you know, so actually kind of physically slotting it in. And that seems a bit crazy, and we're maybe a little bit of kind of routine freaks. We kind of like that, so we know where we're going. But it's been brilliant. It means that we do pray every morning together, and the boys have their Bible time with Daddy as well, which has been absolutely fantastic, and I'm very thankful that we did it. The other thing as well is to... was to schedule in our prayer time together. And again, I know it's very difficult. Some husbands leave very early in the morning. Some husbands don't get home till very late at night. But again, to think and to plan together, what is it going to look like for you and for your marriage? And that's what we're going to do now. At the end of the sheet, there are a couple of questions. What we'd love for you to do is to spend 5 minutes thinking through how is your reading of the Bible going at the moment, together, individually, what does your Bible life look like? And then in 5 minutes' time, we'll stop here and we will ask and say, now's a good time to pray together about that or about anything else that we've been talking about. So to start to kind of put into practice some of the things we've been looking at this morning.
As you may never have prayed together as a married couple, that's perfectly to be expected. Don't worry about that. Don't feel scared about praying together. But it's good to have a go. Why not take Luke 11, the Lord's Prayer from Luke 11? Why not say that through together and then go and get a cup of coffee or something? Okay, so 5 minutes to talk now. Get wisdom, get understanding, talk with each other. Review how you think your Bible and prayer time is going. How could you make differences, changes? Because this is the way that our marriages are united, and that we come to maturity in Christ together as Christians.